Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I think we might get started. I'd like to welcome you to the combined annual general meeting of Growthpoint Properties Australia Limited and the general meeting of Growthpoint Properties Australia Trust. I am your chairman. My name is Geoff Tomlinson. Please note that today's proceedings are being webcast live for the benefit of security holders not able to be present. A link to a recording of this webcast will be made available on Growthpoint's website approximately 2 hours after the close of this meeting. As we have a quorum for these meetings, I am pleased to declare the meetings officially opened. The notice of meeting was sent to all security holders on the 24th of October 2016, and I propose to take it as read. In addition to the security holders present, I'd like to welcome representatives from our auditors, Dean Waters and Deanne Liapis of KPMG. I'd also like to introduce my fellow directors. They are from your left, Tim Collier, our Managing Director, Maxine Brenner, Estienne de Klerk, Grant Jackson, Francois Marais, and Norbert Sasse. Also present is Aaron Hockley, and Aaron's on my left, our Company Secretary and Chief Operating Officer. And I'd also like to introduce other members of Growthpoint's executive management team, being our Chief Financial Officer, Dion Andrews, who's at the front here, and our Head of Property, Michael Green. Thanks, Michael. Finally, I'd like to welcome Growthpoint employees, several of whom are here today. I'd like to talk a bit about the agenda. Basically, we'll follow a presentation of the business and its strategy from our Managing Director, Tim Collier. And after that, there'll be a presentation of the combined annual report for the company and the trust. I will call for questions and comments following the presentation of these accounts. The company's auditors, KPMG, are in attendance to answer any questions security holders have in relation to the audit, the auditor's report, the accounting policies adopted, and the independence of the auditor. Please address all questions to me in the first instance, and I'll direct them as appropriate. I'll then explain the voting procedures and address each of the remaining items of business set out in the notice of meetings. Security holders will have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments in relation to each item. After the meeting, directors, management and KPMG will be available for discussions with individual security holders over a light lunch to be served in this room. Ladies and gentlemen, Growthpoint Properties Australia has been in operation for over 7 years, growing from a $650 million externally managed industrial trust with a market capitalization below $300 million in mid-2009, to an internally managed group with $3.3 billion of office and industrial assets and a market capitalization in excess of $2.1 billion. I have to say the $2.1 billion isn't quite there today because obviously the market's dropped, but at the end of June last year that figure was correct. Security holders will be aware that the group recently completed a takeover of the former GPT Metro Office Fund, and we welcome many former GMF unit holders as new Growthpoint security holders as a result. Ladies and gentlemen, directors are pleased with the achievements for financial year 2016, including earnings and distribution growth, a larger, more diversified property portfolio post-acquisitions, an excellent leasing result, and achievement of a 19.6% per annum total security holder return for the 5 years ended 30 June 2016. I hope for every other meeting I attend as a director of Growthpoint, I can talk about figures of that nature. Can I say that the group has been ably managed by Tim Collier and a consistent executive team since establishment, and I wish to thank all employees as well as my fellow directors for their contribution to our success. I'd now like to hand over to our Managing Director, Tim Collier.
Thank you, Geoff. Security holders, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to the annual general meeting today. The agenda is obviously a review of financial year 2016, and we'll go through returns, our assets, the GMF takeover, which has been a big event for the period, our leasing performance, our property portfolio, and the outlook. Firstly, assets, profit, and security holder returns. They continue to grow. Growthpoint achieved growth in its distributable income of 3.3% above 2015. Distributable income was 0.219 per security, providing for a distribution to security holders of 0.205. The distribution paid was 4.1% higher than the prior year. As Geoff has said, the five-year total return income and capital for the last five years has been 19.6% per annum, outperforming the REIT index. The net asset value per security was up 7.7% over financial year 2016 to 2.67 dollars per security, and this was primarily as a result of property revaluation increases. The change in NTA per security over the year, plus the attractive distribution paid, provided for a return on equity, so unit holders' equity, of 15.9%. As Geoff has said, our objective since commencing Growthpoint in 2009 has been to build the size of the portfolio, to gain benefits of diversification by tenant, sector, and geography by purchasing quality commercial real estate. You'll see there on the graph, the portfolio now has a value of 3.3 billion dollars, up from 2.8 billion dollars as at 30th of June 2016, and 2.4 billion dollars a year prior. So considerable growth over the last year. We've acquired quality assets this year and completed the GMF takeover. We are pleased to have been able to purchase five properties in financial year 2016, valued at 328 million dollars. And you'll see there, South Melbourne property, if you drive along Kingsway, you'll see that, where the BMW dealership is. A government-tenanted property in Canberra with a long WALE of 11 years. A newly developed property, leased to BMW, which has just been completed in Mulgrave, and two industrial properties. These modern properties were purchased on an average initial yield of 6.8%, a weighted average lease expiry of 7.2 years, and have weighted average rent reviews of 3.7% per annum, and are tenanted by quality, corporate, and government tenants. Of significant interest to security holders and the wider market was Growthpoint's takeover of GMF, the GPT Metro Office Fund. After lodging an initial proposal with the IBC, the Independent Board Committee of GMF, in March 2016, competition from another REIT, which was well-publicized, Growthpoint's takeover bid was lodged on the 1st of July 2016. Prior to this, Growthpoint acquired a 13% stake in GMF from GPT, and we also agreed the terms of a facilitation and property rights agreement. The offer of 2.50 dollars per GMF unit was subsequently recommended by the GMF IBC. Growthpoint's takeover offer closed on the 23rd of September this year, with approximately 95% acceptances. The balance of the units in GMF have subsequently been compulsorily acquired, and GMF has been delisted. The GMF portfolio comprises six A-grade office buildings valued at around $400 million. With high occupancy and a weighted average lease expiry of 5.5 years, major tenants include Lion, Samsung, Queensland Urban Utilities, Optus and Aurora. So fantastic tenants, and all of those tenants that I have mentioned are new tenants to our group. The strategic rationale for the acquisition by Growthpoint included accretion to group earnings, quality modern A-grade office buildings at an attractive yield, greater New South Wales investment exposure, which has been an objective of Growthpoint. We issued Growthpoint script or Growthpoint securities as part of the consideration at a price above our NTA per security. And of course, with the issuing of further securities, increased market capitalization and free float, which assists the wider trading of Growthpoint securities. As Jeff said before, of course, we welcome the GMF unit holders that now have become Growthpoint security holders. In financial year 2016, new and extended leases over 59,000 square metres were completed, and post 30 June, a further 39,000 square metres has been leased. Combined, this covers almost 9%, 8.8% of the total lettable area. Key highlights include a successful leasing at 333 Ann Street, Brisbane, taking occupancy from 41% at the start of financial year 2016 and now to 80%, and that is a good effort in a difficult market. And then secondly, building 2 and 3 at Botanica Corporate Park, Richmond, where approximately 23,000 square metres were pre-leased to David Jones and Country Road for their new national headquarters. So they're moving from Sydney to Melbourne down to the Growthpoint properties in Richmond. These properties are currently fully occupied by GE, so they will move out, and David Jones Country Road will move in. And the average lease term is 14.5 years. Current vacancy and near-term expiries have been reduced, with Growthpoint having an enviable lease expiry profile. You'll see there on the chart, only 1% of the portfolio is currently vacant, and only 7% of portfolio income potentially expiring in financial year 17 and 18. In acquiring property, leasing vacant space and renewing leases, Growthpoint scrutinises the quality of tenants very closely. The top 10 tenants, and they're noted in the presentation, cover over 50% of portfolio income, and they comprise Commonwealth and state governments, large international ASX listed and private companies. So you see Woolworths, New South Wales Police, the Commonwealth, GE, which becomes David Jones, Lin Fox, Samsung's new to the business, Lion's new, and the ANZ Bank, who occupy part of the South Melbourne property, also a new tenant to the group over the past 12 months. Now to the portfolio. Growthpoint's property portfolio now stands at 63 properties, approximating a value of $3.3 billion. The group holds 26 office buildings valued at over $2 billion and 37 industrial properties valued at over $1.2 billion. Our key features include occupancy of around 99%, it's 98.6%, a weighted average lease expiry of 6.5 years, and a weighted average rent review of 3.2%. The portfolio is weighted 62% to the office sector and 38% to the industrial sector. We will maintain investment in a quality industrial portfolio however, have increased office market exposure in both City of Melbourne, where we believe rental growth prospects are relatively attractive. Our geographic exposure has been increased in New South Wales to 25%, and we would like to increase this further. Economic growth in New South Wales in particular is strong. Growthpoint's key assets in Parramatta and the Sydney Olympic Park will benefit from billions of dollars of government infrastructure projects, expected population growth, and associated rejuvenation of office precincts. Now to the outlook, market and market conditions. Firstly, the property market. Demand for institutional grade, well-leased property is robust with offshore buyer interest high. Office tenancy demand is good in both Sydney and Melbourne. Whilst the Brisbane office market has bottomed with tentative signs of improvement, there is a similar pattern for industrial tenant demand. Highly topical, financial markets and A-REITs. We have recently witnessed considerable volatility in financial markets, particularly since the US presidential election. Much of this volatility and uncertainty has been caused by the market's outlook for interest rates in the US and domestically. Bond yields have moved up sharply. A rotation of investment into resource stocks and so-called growth stocks has seen some investors move out of defensive or yield stocks, including A-REITs. With this backdrop, the S&P/ASX A-REIT index has fallen 17.6 since its peak in early August. Having said that, nevertheless, we have reason to be relatively confident about the outlook. Firstly, A-REITs are reporting positive operating conditions and earnings growth. The Australian economy is performing relatively well. We have GDP growth at 3.3%, population growth of 1.4%, unemployment of 5.6%, retail sales have been improving. Last figures were at 2.8% growth. Of course, we have very low inflation at 1.3% and just recently record low wages growth, which feeds through to inflation. And more recently, we have a better look for outlook for exports. Major eastern seaboard property markets are performing well with supply side in check. The sector, the REIT sector, such as GOZ, benefits from historically low cost of debt finance and has extended hedging and debt tenures in recent years. Finally, spreads from property investment remain attractive. By way of example, taking Growthpoint's typical acquisition metrics, we typically buy at property yields over the last 12 months between 6.5% and 7%. Versus a cost of medium-term debt of about 4% per annum. So there's a positive spread there, which is good for property investment. Further, a 10-year internal rate of return or total return when we and others in the market buy is between typically 7.5% and 8% over a 10-year term. That's versus the government bond rate of currently 2.6%. So once again, a large spread for investment in property. To the outlook and what Growthpoint will be concentrating on over the period ahead. For the property portfolio, leasing vacancies and financial year 17 expiries, divestment of selected assets, we will have announced to the market we will be considering divestments of assets. Feasibility, design development and obtaining pre-commitments for the approved 18,000 square metre office building at Richmond. If you live in Melbourne and you know the Bottega Corporate Office Park, we have a planning permit for a new building on the car park there and we will progress that design, development, feasibility with a view to obtaining pre-commitments from tenants and then ultimately constructing that building. We will continue GMF, GPT Metro, property transition, and we will consider accretive acquisitions and further M&A activity in the sector. Operationally, there's a concentration on sustainability, and security holders would have seen our sustainability report published at the time of the annual report. We have new employees with our growth. We have new employees across all business lines, and we will be moving to a new head office next year. As always, we will endeavour to maintain strong investor relations program. In regard to capital management, post the GMF acquisition, we intend to lower gearing into the target range of 35 to 45%. Our current gearing is just outside that at 46%, and we'll do that by divestment of assets, likely to have the dividend reinvestment plan operative, and if required, equity raising. We intend also to follow the progress of 2015 and look at additional issuing of additional long-term debt into capital markets. And of course, we will seek to improve liquidity and free float of the group. In regard to our market guidance for financial year 2017, this is of at least 22.2 cents per security for distributable income and a distribution payable to security holders of 21.3 cents. Up 3.9% on financial year 16. After executing the capital management initiatives we have discussed, directors will consider whether there is scope to raise a distribution for this current financial year. Based upon the closing price of yesterday, which is $3.01, which I certainly believe is a low price, there's a distribution yield for this financial year of about 7.1%. So an attractive yield with growth in distributions going forward. I'll conclude. I'd like to thank all the security holders and other stakeholders and also our service providers for their continued support of the group. Growthpoint employees, most of whom are security holders. They work hard and diligently, and they certainly work together as a team. So I also thank them for their support. In particular, I would like to thank the directors for the long hours worked on the GMF takeover, where really the expertise of the board really came to the fore in areas of property, valuations, M&A transactions, corporate law, capital markets and financing. It was a great collective effort with all the skills of the board coming to the fore, as I said. That's all from me. I thank you for your attendance today.
Thanks, Tim. I'm going to move to the items on the notice of meeting to begin with, but the end of that session, I'll ask you if you want to ask any general questions at all, and you may have some questions in relation to what Tim's just said, but if you wouldn't mind holding those till towards the end of the meeting, I'm quite sure Tim will be happy to take some questions in relation to those comments he's made so far. So as I said, I'd like to move to the items of business, and the first item of business is business of the combined meetings being to receive and consider the combined financial reports and the reports of the directors and the auditors in respect of the company and the trust for the financial year ended 30th of June 2016. A combined annual report for the company and the trust was sent to those security holders who elected to receive it and was also made available on the websites of the ASX and of the group.
Hard copies of the annual report are also on your seats today. In addition to the board and management, our auditors are in the audience to answer any questions you may have. Would anyone like to ask questions or make comments about this item of business? If not, I'll move on. The remaining items of business on today's agenda involve consideration of seven resolutions set out in the notice of meetings. Two of the proposed resolutions, comprising agenda items 2 and 3 in your notices of meeting, relate to the company only. Agenda items 4 and 6 relate to both the company and the trust, and agenda item 5 relates to the trust only. The proposed resolutions relating to items of business numbered 2, 3, 4 and 6 are ordinary resolutions which require a majority of votes cast in favour to be carried. The last proposed resolution, item 5, is a special resolution which requires at least 75% of votes cast in favour to be carried. All resolutions will be determined by a poll, with voting to occur at the end of this meeting on all resolutions. Security holders should vote for all resolutions on their red voting card and provide this to the Computershare representative at the close of the meeting. On a poll, every security holder has one vote for each stapled security held at the record date by that particular security holder. Details of the proxies received on each item of business will be shown on the screen behind me after discussion on that particular item of business. I'd like to let you know that I am holding open proxies in my capacity as chairman, and it is my intention to vote all available proxies in favour of each resolution. The next item of business asks shareholders to adopt the company's remuneration report. As you know, this is a non-binding advisory vote of shareholders. I'd like to let you know that although this resolution is not binding, the board will give due regard to the outcomes of the vote when considering future remuneration issues. The proposed resolution appears on the screen in front of you now. It's not my intention to read the resolutions. I'll just leave it up to you if you don't mind. Are there any questions or comments? And if you have any questions that relate to the proposed issue of performance rights to the Managing Director, please hold those questions and raise them when we come to discuss Agenda Item 4. Any questions or comments on the remuneration report? If not, I'll move on. Sorry, you can see the proxies obviously on the screen behind you, and I also should bring to your attention that there is a voting exclusion applies to this item of business under the Corporations Act, which obviously the company and Computershare are well aware of. Then the next item of business relates to director elections. The proposed resolutions appear on the screen in front of you now. I will call for voting on each resolution separately. Details of the qualifications and experience of each candidate is set out in the notice of meetings. You can see two of our directors, Estienne de Klerk and Francois Murray, are standing for re-election, and the recommendation is obviously that they are re-elected as directors of the company. Are there any questions or comments on these resolutions? And as you can see, the voting on the screen obviously is in favour of the re-election of those two directors. Can I move to item 4, which is deals with the approval of grant of performance rights to Tim Collier, our Managing Director. The resolution is on the screen. And while you're reading it, as noted at the 2015 annual general meeting, there was an error in the 2015 notice of meetings. So security holders at that meeting only approved the first tranche of Tim's 2015 performance rights. security holders are now being asked to approve three tranches for 2015. Obviously, the first tranche was approved, and four tranches in respect to the grant for 2016. I'm sorry, with a slightly, I did raise it last year at the meeting, so there's two separate things. There's the three tranches in regard to the 2015, and four tranches in respect to the grant for 2016. Are there any questions or comments in relation to that particular item of business? If not, I'll move on. The next resolution is seeking approval of amendments to the Trust Constitution. And you can see the resolution there. The proposed provision will give the company the right to fix the price of unit, which differs from the existing constitutional provisions, which are prescriptive, and bring the provisions into line with the company's constitution, which is in line with current market standards. I see this purely as an administrative issue. There's no change in the methodology. There's no change in director responsibility. It's just a more efficient way of actually doing this, undertaking this activity. So I see it as administrative myself, but obviously happy to take questions or comments. If not, I'll move on. And obviously you can see the proxies in favour of that resolution. Item 6, the proposed resolution is now displayed on the screen in front of you. I'll leave you to read that. Some background. ASX Listing Rule 7.1 limits the number of stapled securities that Growthpoint Properties Australia may issue in any 12-month period, that's without security holder approval, to 15% of its issued capital. Whilst there is an exception from ASX Listing Rule 7.1 for the issue of securities under a distribution reinvestment plan, this exemption is not available if securities are being issued to an underwriter in connection with the plan. Security holder approval is therefore being sought in respect to any issue of staple securities to an underwriter in connection with the issue under the DRP. We're also seeking security holder approval for Growthpoint's majority shareholder to underwrite our DRP over the next 12 months. This is intended to provide the group with flexibility in light of our stated aim of bringing balance sheet gearing down to between 35 and 45%. Any questions in relation to that particular resolution? Yes, sir. Would you mind stating your name, please, sir?
Certainly, Jeff Thomas. In relationship to the DRP, what's the present discount?
It's 2%.
Mm-hmm. I see the share price is now $3.01. The NTA is $2.67. So I'm just interested to know, firstly, I find a conflict with this in the sense that I was going to suggest that maybe in view of the NTA that you might consider giving a bigger discount to shareholders. At the same time, I see also an advantage in the sense that it's giving more value in if you're issuing DRP shares at a higher price. And I just wondered how the impact on that would be impacted by that, or would you consider giving more discount, or would this preclude that because it creates this conflict?
Yeah, discounts on DRPs is a fairly contentious issue. You have different people with different views about it. My view is that, in actual fact, I think a small discount is warranted to encourage people who are existing security holders to participate in the DRP, but there is fairly strong evidence to indicate that if you have a discount of 2% or give a discount of 4%, the actual take-up rate doesn't change much at all. But I think shareholders or security holders do appreciate some sort of discount. So it's a balancing act. At the moment, I think the board is of the view that 2% is the right figure. While I can't commit the organisation going forward, when it does announce another DRP, I would have an expectation that it'll be somewhere in the region of 2%.
Appreciate that with a large shareholder discount diluting them as well if they don't participate in that.
Yep.
But I just, first of all, thank you for the DRP discount. And I just a little bit trying to work out in terms of how this does affect the overall balance of the fund, because you're issuing these shares at a higher price than NTA. So that's got to be a benefit in one way.
It is a benefit in one way, but basically we also got to take into account the way the share is trading today over and obviously in excess of the NTA. Now, as Tim mentioned, our share price, I think today or yesterday, was $3.01. I think a couple of months ago it was $3.24, and it's traded around a rate of $3.15. But as Tim mentioned, what's happened in the USA with the rally in bond markets, the whole A-REIT sector has declined at some point in time. And I think the question which we are asking ourselves as a board, and we will consider it at a board meeting this week, is basically, is this an appropriate time to raise additional capital, for example? The answer is most probably no, and we will obviously give consideration to the turning on of a DRP at the next appropriate time. But in terms of the discount, I can't really make further comment than I've made so far.
Anyhow, just the point is it's appreciated, the DRP, particularly for our smaller shareholders.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage you to continue to do that in whatever the outcome of this resolution is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm happy to talk to you more about it after the meeting if you'd like to.
Appreciate that.
Is there any further questions or comments on that resolution? I think you can see the proxy votes are obviously in favour of the resolution. That's the end of what I call the business of the meeting. Could you please complete your voting card provided and actually complete it and submit it to the Computershare representative, who will be walking around the room right now with a very brightly coloured box to put it in so you can't possibly miss it. I will shortly close the meeting, but I... And there's obviously an opportunity, as I said, for you to meet the rest of the directors and talk to the management team and our auditors after the meeting. But Tim gave a fairly detailed presentation on sort of the performance of the business and the outlook going forward. If there's any questions or comments you'd like to ask Tim in relation to his presentation, I'm sure he'll be happy to take questions. I haven't asked him beforehand, but I'm sure he will be. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no further questions, I will declare the meeting closed. And as I said previously, again, thank you for your attendance. We greatly appreciate your interest in the company. And in actual fact, there will be a light lunch served at the back of this room. And it will be remiss of me not to thank Herbert Smith Freehills for providing this venue for this meeting. So thank you, Michael. We very much appreciate it. So meeting's closed, and we look forward to chatting with you over lunch. So again, thanks for your attendance.